In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear Reverend Father, dear faithful, once upon a time, there was a man who went for a hike in the mountains. And when he came to the trailhead, he saw this sign. It said, "For your safety, stay on the trail." And at first, as he was walking on the trail, he did exactly that. But there was a forest next to the trail, and he was observing that there was some nice, glittery, shiny things in the forest. And he was tempted to enter into the forest. Finally, as he went along, he gave in to this temptation. He went into the forest, and over time, it became darker and darker. And he realized that he needed to go back to the trail. And he started to try to make his way back. By that time, it had become completely dark. He kept walking and walking for hours, feeding himself with the food that he had in his backpack, looking for that trail, but he could not find it. And then finally, he looked at his watch, and he realized that it was the next day at 10 in the morning, and yet it was still dark. Somehow, in this forest, even the light of day did not reach it. This forest somehow remained dark all the time. And so he kept looking and looking for that trail. For days, he kept walking until finally, in a state of exhaustion, he gave up and sat down, taking the few remaining pieces of food that he had in his backpack, saying a few prayers and commending his life. And then finally, there was one tiny beam of light that he saw off in the distance. And summoning the last remnants of his strength, he got up and went in the direction of that light. And as he got closer to the light, he realized that it wasn't the light of the sun, but it was a light coming forth from a woman who was holding a child. When he reached this woman, the woman said to him, "Adam, if you're willing to carry this, my child, I will show you the way back to the trail and up the mountain." My dear faithful, this story is an allegory of the history of mankind, of our first father, Adam, who left the trail that was shown for him by God and plunged the human race into a state of great darkness that continued for a long time. The human race suffering from the effects of sin without any real remedy for it, dying eternally because of sin. Until finally there came this gleam of light on the horizon after so many thousands of years. And this gleam of light was the nativity of the Most Blessed Virgin. With the coming of the Most Blessed Virgin, we had the signal of the return of life to the human race. You know that when we pray the prayer, "Hail, Holy Queen," we say of Our Lady that she is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. We say that she's our life. We say that this woman, Our Lady, is the source of life for us. And we believe that. We believe that the God has chosen one creature to be the source of life for the entire human race, the mother of all, the new Eve. Why is it that we believe this is the case? Well, there's many reasons why we believe this, but I just want to speak about three reasons. The first reason is because we recognize that Our Lady's life is different from our life. Consider if you had a situation where everybody coming into the world had a genetic disease. And because of that fact, there was no way to remove that genetic defect. But then one day there was born a little girl. And when the doctors checked her out, they discovered that she did not have this disease. And everybody breathes a sigh of relief. They say, "This girl somehow is not afflicted with this disease." And we would expect that when this girl grows up and becomes a mother, her children also will not be afflicted with this disease. And this is how it was with Our Lady. Every single person born in this world, conceived in this world, is afflicted with the very source of death. You know that the reason why physical death came into the world is because of sin. Sin causes death. It causes physical death. It causes eternal death. But with the conception of Our Lady, you have, for the first time, a child conceived without any stain of original sin. So you have Our Lady is the one human being for whom the shadow of death has never been cast over her. Sin has never touched her in any way. She does not have this genetic disease that we receive from Adam and Eve. But not only that, the life of Our Lady is different from ours in that she not only did not have this disease of sin, and it's never touched her and never will touch her, but also she came into being with a fullness of life. From the first moment of her existence, God poured into the soul of Our Lady His own life, a fullness of His own life, such that the angel Gabriel could save her, that she was full of grace. And if you have someone, if you encounter someone who's like full of life, very, very energetic, you expect that fullness will spill over onto others. And this is how we look at Our Lady. We see her as not having any stain of death in her, on the one hand, and on the other hand, her being completely full of the life of God. And so we anticipate that if I can become her child, if I can become a child of this woman, then I also will be able to live. I will be able to live with the same sort of life that she has. The second reason why we anticipate that Our Lady can be the source of our life is that Our Lady is always young. She does not age. You know, when we have the birthday for our mother, and our mother, we make her the birthday cake and we have the celebration, and perhaps we try not to mention how old she's gotten over time, because as she grows in age, she becomes older. That's just the way it is in this life. And we really fully understand that there's going to come a time when there's going to be a last birthday and our mother must die. But this is not the way it is with Our Lady. Our Lady is always young. Our Lady is over 2,000 years old. And she still has the bloom of youth. And then we anticipate that will never change. When she appeared to Juan Diego in 1531, she was already 1,500 years old. And Juan Diego says, "This girl appeared to me. She looked like she was about 14 years old." Even though we know she was over 1,500 years old. And then 317 years later, Our Lady appeared to St. Bernadette in 1848. And again, St. Bernadette said it was like a teenage girl. She had the appearance of a teenage girl. And then 69 years later, in 1917, when Our Lady appeared to the children of Fatima, she still was just as young as ever. And if you have someone who goes through the years and they never change in their appearance and they never grow old, even though they're getting older, they never age, the body does not break down, then you have the anticipation that they will live forever. And again, we think, well, if I can be the child of this woman, I also will have eternal youth. Our Lady kind of gives us a sign of that she's able to give us eternal youth through the miraculous water at Lourdes, by the fact that she was working all these cures through the miraculous water. People would come there with a disease that was terminal, that would cause their death, surely cause their death, and they bathe themselves in this water that was discovered, pointed out by Our Lady, and then they're cured. They're restored to health. They're restored to their youth. The third reason why we as Catholics believe that Our Lady is our life is because we see in her the source of life. You know, when you come to a stream and you drink some water, in order to refresh yourself, you can say, "Where does this water come from?" And you can go upstream and you can try to trace the water to its ultimate source. And when you come to the source, you're like, well, this is the basis of this water. This is where the water comes from. And if you got the source, then you're never going to run out of water. Or the water may be cut off downstream at some point. At the source, it will never be cut off. And when we look at all the living things that there are on this earth, teeming with life, and we say, where does this life come from? What is the ultimate source of life? Let me trace back to get to the ultimate source of life. And of course, we say, well, that source of life is God. All life comes from God. He alone is eternal. He alone has lived forever. And we say, who is the mother of God? And the answer is Mary. The Blessed Virgin Mary is the mother of God. She is the mother of the very source of life. So again, I anticipate that if I can become a child of Mary, then I'm the son or daughter of she who is the very source of life. I anticipate that I will be able to live forever. So this is the very beautiful reality that God has given us a mother who is capable of giving us eternal life, capable of giving us eternal youth if we can be her children on this earth. And when we look at human history, we find that those who are devoted to Our Lady are great proponents of life. They are great sources of life. Whereas those who stray from her, who turn aside from her, who reject her, they very quickly fall into a state of death. And isn't this, my dear people, what has happened to our sorry Western civilization in today's age, which has thrown aside the Mother of God and said, we don't need her to be our mother? Think about the medieval times when there was so much devotion to Our Lady. She was like the favorite depiction in their paintings, was Our Lady. And now we have a culture that not only is not very alive, but it seems to foster death. It seems to have a fascination with death, to love death. Even just a few decades ago, you think about how there was this war on drugs, which often caused people to die. Even the Democrats were saying that abortion should be rare. And today it's the opposite. There's the government, the states, particularly this state, encourages people to abort their children, take drugs. People today are encouraged to have recreational drugs, recreational sex, recreational abortion, recreational euthanasia. People are encouraged to foster death in themselves and in their children. And there is hard to find people who believe in life, who want to foster life. The birth rate for the United States right now is 1.64, and Europe is 1.46. And that is simply not enough to sustain a civilization. If you take that birth rate and you extend it over the years, what happens eventually is that the civilization dies. There's no longer any people because the population is not replacing itself. And as I say, if there was a devotion to Our Lady among the American people, it would be totally different. You think about what happens when you become devoted to Our Lady. What does she tell you? She tells you, do what he says. She points to her son. She says, you follow him. He will show you the path. I will lead you to him. And you follow what he says. And then you become conscious of the difference between mortal sin and venial sin, what it means to have the state of grace, what it means to have the life of God dwelling in you. She says to you, I want you to have this life in you so that you can live forever. And you try to avoid sin. You work very hard to avoid mortal sin. And you're not going to be having abortions. You're not going to be using birth control. You're going to be leading an interior life. You're going to be doing things that are pleasing to God. And that will cause a great abundance of life. It will cause the removal of these sources of death from your life, such as, you know, drugs and euthanasia and all that. We can think about the impact of of the Spaniards conquering Mexico. You know, when they went to Mexico, Cortes was going around to the different villages of these various tribes, and each of these villages had some sort of temple dedicated to the pagan gods, and the smell of human sacrifice. There was human sacrifice being practiced on an incredible scale. And Cortes would encourage them to remove the idols from their temples. And he brought with him tons of pictures of Our Lady. And he would give them a picture of Our Lady. He says, take this picture, put it in your temple, and honor her. And it will be well for your people. You will be blessed. Your people will be blessed if you honor her. You know, the whole climax is when he went to Mexico City in the huge temple where thousands upon thousands of people had been killed in human sacrifice, and put an image of Our Lady there after, you know, destroying the idols. This too would happen in our day and age if people turned to Our Lady. It's such a blessing for us in this day and age for us to know who she is, and to have a devotion to her, to pray her rosary every day, to understand who she is, whom God has given us to be our mother, what a huge impact it has in our life, how fruitful it is, for instance, for our own parish, which is teeming with life. What an incredible blessing it is, and something of a moral miracle to have big families in our world, such as our world is, where effectively the Catholic world has surrendered to birth control, and the secular world, of course, has completely embraced the culture of death. It's something of a moral miracle to have a parish with a lot of big families, and we owe this blessing to Our Lady. So, my dear faithful, when we find Our Lady, we find life. Let us realize what a blessing it is to have this mother. Let us really foster this desire to be her children, to go to her, to confide in her, to truly believe that the only way that we will live is by being close to her, having that devotion to her. And to the degree that we become cold and indifferent to her, we are endangering our life. We are endangering certainly our eternal life. She is the very source of life. She is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Let us have a great confidence in her. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.